Maradon Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. ESPN Chicago's Hard Knocks recap brought to you by ComEd. Episode 4 has come and gone. A very interesting episode. Dare I say one that pulls at the heartstrings and talks about some tough moments. And listen, there's no good time to have the conversation on jobs being won and or lost. But there is always a good time to talk about it with somebody who has been in those situations and has won a lot of jobs in the NFL. Jason McKee in the building with us. J-Mac, what's good, my guy?
Hey, man, what's good, man? It was a good episode, man. I think it continues to show a lot of different things. You know, we see the football side. We see the coach-to-player side. We see the human element with guys, you know, going downtown. You look at the quarterbacks and stuff like that. You know, we got a chance to see, you know, Adrian Colbert, a little bit of his backstory. So a lot of things, you know, in this episode of Hard Knocks. So I liked it, man. I thought they touched on a lot of things, touched on some different guys in this episode. So, you know, we're going to break it down for you as usual, man. It's a good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah,
all Bears. So it makes it, it's a win-win when it's all Bears. So I'm excited.
It's not bad, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. When you sit there and you're like 20 minutes into a show and you're like, there's more Bears coming. It's not a bad feeling. Yeah. But let's jump into our ComEd electric moment of the episode. But before we do that, we got to talk about what ComEd is bringing to this episode. J-Mac, lead the way, man.
Most definitely, man. More business across Northern Illinois are partnering with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program to save on energy costs. Get started with a free ComEd facility assessment to find new ways to control your bottom line. Learn more at ComEd.com, powering biz.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure that you guys tap in with ComEd over there, rocking with the show. Let's talk about our ComEd electric moment of the episode. J-Mac, what did you see in today's episode that really stood out to you, that really was like, wow, a little bit shocking, a little bit hype, a little bit of I'm excited to see what we're going to dive into with this episode?
Man, it was a lot of moments. I mean, honestly, it was a lot of you know, empowering moments. It was a lot of shocking moments. Like I said before, I really think, you know, and we've talked about this before, Pat, us being at practice and obviously me traveling with the team, being on the sideline, like Coach Morton, you know, and when I look at the relationship that him and Ian Wheeler have, like, it reminds me of my running back coach, you know, back in the day here, Tim Spencer, and the relationship that we had with him as running backs and him as our coach. You know, it was similar. Like, there was a time where we could crack jokes and laugh and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, he wanted all of us to be on the 53-man roster. He treated us all the same, no matter if you were a starter, no matter if you got paid a huge signing bonus or you got a, you know, undrafted free agent signing bonus. He treated everybody the same. And he really pushed us. And you see that from Chad. Like, you see him pushing Ian every day at practice. He's being real with him and honest, saying, hey, Ian, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You're on a 4-3. Run through that contact. Use your speed. But then he's also trying to make sure that he's helping him prepare not to fail. And they even showed that during him getting ready for his rookie show performance in front of the team. You know, him and Jennifer King, the assistant running back coach, they're doing like a mock rookie show. And he comes out and he's like, he walks out and Chad's like, Ian, get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. You can't come in here like that. They're going to boo you. Get out of here, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't see running back coaches help prepare undrafted free agent guys trying to make the team, preparing them for the rookie show. You know what I'm saying? And that just shows you that Coach Morton really cares about his players as people and not just players.
You know what? And J-Mac, you got into my moment a little bit there as well. Here's my problem. And this is my moment of light, right? Or should I say this is my electric moment of the episode.
Okay.
I love the rookie shows. I'm a big rookie show guy. I thought Theo Benedict came out, dominated. Thought Rome absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
Right. At this point, you know, I do have some questions on why athletes have no rhythm. Maybe you can answer that for me
put rhythmless guys on. The beginning of the performance, I was pretty upset. Like, Chief Keef, like, I mean, you got the right song, you got the smoke, but then
you gotta kill Finito, like, my boy.
You don't know the words? Like, come on, like, how are we picking songs?
I got props.
But Caleb did the same thing. He don't get a pass. Like, you gotta do that again. Like, I get it. Towards the end, you only succeeded because everybody's just bobbing their head because they love the song, but you didn't succeed singing that song.
See, this is my problem. You know what I mean? Like, here's my question at the end of the day. Are you really a gorilla in the effing coop? Are you finna pull up in the zoo? Yeah, I mean, who are you? I don't know. That's my problem with Ian Wheeler right now. J-Mac, my big question right now is, why don't athletes have rhythm, J-Mac? I feel like this is a simple thing. It's above 70% African-American league, J-Mac.
Guys have rhythm. Man, you're a basketball fan. You seen John Wall when he used to do his entrance coming in doing the Dougie. Guys got rhythm. You got to pick the right song, though. Like, that's a song you don't need rhythm for. You got to literally bounce to the beat. Find the beat and bounce and shake.
Let me ask you this. Were guys doing songs because of Hard Knocks? Was this the fake moment of Hard Knocks? No. Because a finito on from Ian Wheeler, guy not right from Chicago, not, you know what I mean? Like, you're clearly trying to ingratiate yourself with the city, trying to win over. Is this a Hard Knocks was on and so I wanted to do it? Is this the fake moment of the show? There usually is one, and this felt like it to me.
You mean because he picked the Chicago song, it being a fake moment? I mean, they could have been like, he could have been struggling and say, hey, you know what? Do Finito by Chief Keef since you're with the Bears. But I mean, at the same time, like, dude, like, study the words like you study your playbook. You're going to be on national TV. You're on HBO. You know what I mean? Like, you're on HBO. And you don't know the words? Come on, man. Like, get out of here, man. Like,
I'm just saying, I didn't feel like Ian Wheeler was really committed to blowing New Jersey up. That's all I'm saying at the end of the day.
I'm going to tell ComEd to turn the power off on Ian Wheeler's performance. That was terrible. Come on, man. Like listen. Realistically, bro, like, you got to do that again. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure they didn't show it, but he had to do something different. Like, they edited it right, but you got to do that again. Like, that's unacceptable.
Now, I will say this, and we haven't done a second moment of the episode, but my second moment of the episode was because, and we'll talk about Ian Wheeler a little bit more throughout the episode. The opportunity that Ian Wheeler has been given, and I want you to talk about that as somebody who has played in this league and has seen people come and go, a red shirt year, essentially. We heard Ryan Poles talk about that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very big because it not only speaks to the talent that they believe that Ian Wheeler has, but also that they want to keep him around the team. They want to keep him working. They want to keep him around the playbook and learning that, because I would assume, right, you don't invest that into somebody if you don't eventually end up trying to utilize that player in the future. When you heard that from Ryan Poles, or I should say from Ian Wheeler, where he came in and said, you know, I've basically heard that I'm doing a red shirt year this year because of the injury that he ends up sustaining. How often have you seen that happen throughout your career? And what does that mean moving forward for a young player like Ian Wheeler?
It actually happens all the time. You know, guys who you're looking at the possibly could have been on the fringe of earning a roster spot, or guys that you would have brought back to your practice squad. You know, they get hurt, you put them on IR, let him heal up. You know, it is like a redshirt year. It's like, essentially, he's on practice squad, but you don't have to use one of those practice squad roster spots. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So a guy like that who showed talent, who's shown a lot of ability, who's got 4.3 speed, who made some plays in preseason, he gets hurt. And like coach, you know, I'm not coach. Ryan Poles said, you know, here's
a red. Feels like a coach.
Yeah. He was, but you know, the funny thing is, like, about that scene, you know, he was genuine. You know, he said, call me. You know, if you want to cry, cry. You know, if you need to yell, scream, or whatever, call me. My line's always open. And the thing is, like, Ryan Poles has been on the other side of the desk. I was here with Ryan Poles in 2008. He was an undrafted free agent at a Boston College who got released. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on the other side of that desk. So there's a lot of GMs who've been, you know, in a helmet, worn shoulder pads, who's been cut, who's made teams. You know, I'm a guy that's made tons of rosters, a guy who's got released from rosters. Like, you know, it's tough. And, you know, emotionally, you know, when you're in that situation, you're getting released, it's like, or you get, you know, for him, it's different because he's being placed on IR. But at the same time, it's like, man, now I got to overcome adversity. I got to overcome injury and stuff like that. So, you know, Ryan Poles is a little different because he's been on the other side of the desk. He's been in the same seat that Ian Wheeler has been.
Yeah, and that's a moment I do want to talk to you about being on the other side of that as well, because you have been on both sides of it. Let's keep this thing moving along. Let's talk about our ComEd moment of light. But before we do that, we do have to tell you guys that your company can save money by becoming more energy efficient. In fact, ComEd's energy efficiency program can help your business find up to 35% in energy savings, resulting in lower energy costs for its facilities. At ComEd, we're not just moving towards clean energy future, we're powering the future of your business. Sign up for your free facility assessment at comed.com/poweringbiz. When we talk about the moment of light, I thought that a very interesting moment of light for me, J-Mac, was what Austin Reed's dad said. You did nothing wrong. You played it perfectly. And yet we saw the news today that Austin Reed probably is not a part of this team moving forward.
Yeah.
And that is probably what more guys than not feel in this NFL, right? Like I did everything the coaches told me to do, the things that I would assume you get coaches that tell you, if you do these things, you will make an NFL team. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I thought that how Austin Reed went out there with a smile. He goes out in that final play. He says, hey, boys, listen, you've heard about the Legion of Boom. You've heard about the 85 Bears. They're going to talk about the 2024 preseason Chicago Bears. I thought that that was a very, and I'm not going to say a final moment, right? Yeah. I'm not, because you never know if he's going to make a team again. I think that he has the talent to be a backup, but it felt final for this season because he was like, I know what the future is going to bring for me, but I did everything I could.
I mean, realistically, looking at it like this, right, and it's a numbers game. And players out there, they're counting numbers. Like, they're like, okay, there's, you know, they're going to keep five receivers and, you know, where I'm at, how many reps am I getting? I'm not going with the ones. I'm not going with the twos. I'm barely getting reps with the threes. I'm with the fours. Like, damn, I ain't going to make it. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at the dynamic of that quarterback room, obviously Caleb's there. Tyson had a great year last year. They like Tyson. So that's 1-2. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're carrying 2. So, you know, with him, it's about, you know, with him and Rippon, it's about going out there and getting the best film that you can, performing when you get opportunities to put together some good film. Because all these teams are going to look at it. I mean, there's a lot of teams that aren't in a good quarterback situation like the Bears. The Bears have, you know, two potential very capable quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some teams don't even have one quarterback. They're unsure if they have a number one, you know? So it's just putting together good tape, making sure that, you know, other teams can see it. Cause he may land on somebody else's practice squad. He may come back on the Bears practice squad. We don't know.
100%. Yeah.
So, you know, I think with him though, you can see that he's a very likable guy, and that's a part of the evaluation, right? The GMs are going to look at you and see how you gel with your teammates, how you are in the building, how you are with meetings, how you are with your own position coaches. And obviously Austin Reed has that type of personality and that type of, you know, camaraderie with the guys in the locker room to be a fit in this Bears organization. So I think that's what he has going for him right now.
Yeah. I thought it was so telling, right? When today's episode felt like and this is why I made it my moment of light. It felt like a very, you can do everything that you want to do to accomplish your dream and it's still not going your way. You felt that way with Austin Reed. And not to say Austin Reed's dream, I would assume his dream is to play in the NFL, but like, you know, I think there's probably some writing on the wall when you sign with the Chicago Bears and you go, you know, they drafted this guy number one overall. I'm probably not going to make the team here, right? I think that there's some understanding going into that. But I thought even with Ian Wheeler, right, some understanding, what's a good way to say it? I don't want to say some clarity because I think that Ian Wheeler had a really good chance at making this team straight out, but maybe some, I've done everything I can and the odds didn't play in my favor, right? Because of the injury that he ends up sustaining with the ACL. I thought that it was a very good episode for that of like, you really do have to be, right? You mentioned it before. The 1% of the 1% that gets to be a part of this league.
Less than 1%, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's – and I feel like looking at the dynamic of that running back room, right? I feel like Ian Wheeler didn't really have a chance, especially when they moved Bayless to running back. You know what I'm saying? I think it was like – it was over. And I think he had a chance to be a practice squad guy. You know what I mean? I think if he wasn't on IR, he'd be on practice squad for sure because he has the talent. Coach Morton's going to pull for him. He's going to bang his fist on the table for him. You know, that's one of his guys. You need those developmental guys. And the practice squad guys, they'll be called up during the season. The practice squad has expanded. You know, when I was out, when I came out in the league, it was only five guys. What is the practice squad now? 15, 16? I don't know what it is.
You were at, I want to say 16 guys.
That's right? A lot of guys. You know what I mean? So
I apologize to the purists in the chat that are going to be like, how do you guys not know the practice squad?
I know when I came out, it was five, but I think they upped the number. So I think the number may have been up this year, but anyhow, I feel it was a long shot, but you know, my moment of light for this episode was, you know, Adrian Colbert.
Up to 17 players. There you up go. To 17 players.
I was wrong twice. I was wrong twice. But
so you weren't on the practice squad, though, J-Mac. You were in the game.
Yeah. Starting out my first year, I was on practice squad. There was five slots. So you talk about a battle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, moment of light, talking about Adrian Colbert, I mean, here's a guy who's been on 10 different teams in 8 years, right? And people, you know, a lot of football players say, I want to play in the NFL. My dreams are playing in the NFL. You know what I mean? As soon as they face adversity, right, they crumble, they quit. Or they're not doing the things necessary to achieve that less than 1%, right? Adrian Colbert's been cut so many times, but he keeps going. He keeps going. You know what I mean? He keeps making plays.
Yeah.
He keeps trying to show up in the preseason. He keeps falling short, but he keeps trying. You know what I mean? So there's guys I've seen like that. You know, I was that guy in the preseason, my first preseason where, you know, you talk about stress. I mean, it is stressful because you're out there, you're trying to make a play. You don't want to make a mistake. There's so much pressure. You know, that one mistake that you make could be your last time, you know, on that roster or on that team or in that locker room. So it's a lot of pressure, man. It's a lot of pressure, but I commend him for continuing to chase his dream after failing and failing and failing. Like, I commend him for doing that. And then they talked about, you know, him going through an ordeal when he was a kid, the accident, you know, and being able to overcome that. So, I mean, here's a guy that's been overcoming adversity his whole life, but he remains, you know, humble, and he remains consistent enough to be able to continue to chase his dream. And, you know, that's why kids.
Yeah, I thought that was the one interesting thing about Colbert was, that this wasn't his first adversity, and they wanted to bring that out. This wasn't even his first adversity in the NFL, but not his first adversity in life. And I thought that was I thought that Hard Knocks did a really good way of bringing that story out as well. When you look at, you know, you want to talk about adversity. Some people think of adversity as a life thing, right, or as a career thing.
Yeah.
He had adversity in that game. He was getting cooked.
Yeah, he was. I mean,
he was getting cooked.
My man Carson.
And then he comes back. Big breakup. Big blitz on the quarterback, right? That turns into a pick six. Big interception himself, right? Like, sometimes it really is just that. And I thought that Hard Knocks did a really good job of bringing out those notes. And it's not just life. Yes, the life aspect of it is there. And that's what the bigger picture is. But also, sometimes you're getting cooked from the first half to the second.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, you're going to make plays. Plays are going to be made on you. It's the NFL. You know, it's the way it goes. And, you know, I think when you look at it, I think the one moment that I feel like we overlooked that we haven't talked about yet is they showed more of the relationship between Caleb and Tyson, right? Yeah. So after Tyson, who's played well this entire preseason, who played well in that Kansas City game, he comes over after scoring on that drive, right? They take him out of the game. Your night's over, Tyson. He comes up to Caleb and he says, hey, you know what? I've learned a lot from you. And then here's the thing. Caleb says, dude, I learned a lot from you. So that goes to show you, like, two different dynamics of quarterbacks, two different journeys going to the NFL. Obviously, Caleb Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, and Tyson, undrafted free agent from a college. Nobody even knows where it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's learning. I'm a Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick. But I've learned from a guy who played at Shepherd University. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the way the league is, man.
No, listen, I mean, I thought the best part of that was just seeing, right, the mindset that Tyson brings. And maybe I read too much into this, but them showing his dad again at a local establishment, arm wrestling people that came up to him. You were there for that?
Yeah, I was there. It's a bar called the Blue Line in Kansas City. I went to it. So where Tyson's sitting, the camera's like right here. I'm literally two seats behind him, and
they snubs you again, my guy.
Always, always. A bunch of big dudes walk around, dude, like, I mean, arm wrestling. They're in there with the little bungee band cords, and they're like getting ready. They're doing this with their arm, getting their arm warmed up to arm wrestle. They had arm wrestling tables everywhere. It was chaos, man.
So J-Mac, you didn't get in on this? I mean, I've seen you do a lot of lifting. I've seen you do a lot of football playing, a lot of coaching. You weren't a part of this. You didn't want to get in on this at all.
Nah, I didn't want none of that. A bunch of sawed off arm wrestlers walk around in there drinking up all the protein in Kansas City, man.
Wait a minute. Was Nathan Vasher in the building? There was protein shake available. Was Vash in the building?
That's what it was. But man, Beige's dad is intense, man. Like, because when he walked in, they introduced him. And, like, the cameras are on Travis Bazin, which is Tyson Bazin's father. And I'm behind.
Absolutely.
I'm, like, right behind him about to walk into the bar. So they're introducing him. Before he walks in, he takes both his fists and he starts punching himself in the chin. He's like, yeah, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, this dude is nuts, man.
Bro, he's one of my favorite people of all time.
He's awesome, man.
For the simple reason, and it's what he did today. It's what he did today. And there's a clip on YouTube. Go watch this if you haven't seen it. It's him arm wrestling against who I would assume is one of his major competitors. The guy almost has him pinned, has him going the other direction. And he goes, you better make your move now. And he's looking this dude. Like, just the mindset of that to me, like going up against a tough competitor, just going, you got one shot. Do it now.
Yeah.
And then he goes, too late.
He's a beast, man.
And beats my man on the other end. Like, seeing that on Hard Knocks, that was phenomenal to me, where the guy's going the other way. He's fighting with all his might, and Travis goes, here we go. All right, let's run it up.
Yeah, the one thing that's not fake, though, is, like, you know, people on the outside looking in, that's not really, you know, around him or seeing him off camera like that, besides Hard Knocks, like, they may say, oh, he's acting, oh, he's overdoing it. He's been, every time I've seen him, he's been like that, on camera, off camera. Like, he's intense. He's an intense guy. Like, that's his personality.
Yeah, no, 100%. He is, I keep saying this. I hope Tyson never leaves, because he's one of my favorite people on a TV screen.
Yeah, I asked Tyson. So I did an in-game interview with him on the sideline during that game. And I said, have you ever attempted to arm wrestle your dad? And he's like, man, he's like, no, I haven't. He said, my arm's too valuable.
I love it.
Good job. Smart ass.
Good job. I love it. Understand the moment there. Because literally, me and my brother were watching it. Of course, we're down here in Florida. We're doing a little vacay down here. Me and my brother were watching it. My brother was like, I've seen people like snap their tendons trying to arm wrestle people like that. And maybe we've gone too long on the arm wrestling conversation, but it's so, I'll say this, championship mindset transcends any sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see from Travis Bagent that he has that. And dare I say, you can see from Tyson Bagent that his father has instilled that in him.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm a little concerned that Tyson Bagent may not be a part of this team very long because of those aspirations. And say what you want. He's better than Daniel Jones. Maybe I'm the guy that has to say it. nobody else seems to see it. He's better than Daniel Jones. He's better than he's one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
He just makes plays when given the opportunity. And, you know, you can say, like, hey, I mean, he's done it, given an opportunity last year to start when he did. You know, you can't say it's just backups in preseason, because he did it. No. He had an opportunity to start last year when Justin got hurt. So, yeah, he's a guy that's got a lot of talent. You know, guys like that, young quarterbacks, you got to keep around. And his story is different. Yes, it's a small school, but look at his body of work. You know, how many snaps did he have at quarterback at Shepherd University? Over 17,000 yards, you know.
Yeah.
However many touchdowns he threw. Like, he's seen a lot, and he works as – like, what did he say? I grinded my face off in the offseason. He works.
Grinding my face off.
Yeah, he works. He works, you know.
J-Mac, anybody doing mile-long, what did he say he was doing? He was doing burpee lunges?
I don't know what he was doing, but
Burpee lunges, I think he was doing. You let me know if anybody attempts that, and I will avoid them at all costs. Yeah. Before we get up out of here, J-Mac, we got one more episode to go on Hard Knocks, right? 5 episodes to go. We got one more episode here. What do you want to see to finish this out? Of course, we know Cut Down Day was the day. I would assume that that has a part to play in the final episode. But what do we want to see in this final Hard Knocks that we have coming towards us?
Yeah, I want to see, man, guys we haven't seen. Like, we haven't – you figured, you know, DeAndre Swift's a new guy. We haven't even seen Swift that much, which is weird, right?
Lot of J-Mac, listen. Like,
Edwards is not in there. Like, what?
I understand this is a Hard Knocks podcast, and it's very Hard Knocks focused, and I've enjoyed seeing the inside look on the Chicago Bears. But I would be un-me if I didn't say it, and I put this out on Twitter. A lot of stories been buried.
Yeah.
A lot of stories have not been talked about. A lot of stories have been avoided, and we know why there hasn't been as much profanity, which I'm fine with. I like being able to watch Hard Knocks with my daughter and stuff like that. Right. But I don't like that we have shied away. Like, you could have, I would say we will leave this Hard Knocks feeling like you could have not done this. And as a Bears fan, that makes me upset.
Yeah, that's you're right though. I mean, it's, you know, when you look at the Hard Knocks in the past, right? Look at the Cowboys, had so many years of Hard Knocks. Even look at the last one, the Giants, I felt showed a lot of insight. You know what I mean? A lot of things that you wouldn't think would be disclosed was disclosed. Like the whole Saquon Barkley saga in the last one. Like, you know, I don't know. Right. I just want to see, you want to see more of the guys. Like, it's, I mean, we saw Austin Reed last
I'm not even asking for the draft. I'm not asking for the front office.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is this or is this not the training camp Hard Knocks?
Right. Right.
The amount of training camps we saw today, and I want y'all to understand this in case you didn't watch this episode of Hard Knocks. The amount of training camp we saw today was Ian Wheeler taking a shot from Jervon Dexter. Montez Sweat is talking some trash. Some things happen. Everybody's going at it, right?
Yeah.
The part they don't show you, in case you didn't listen to the podcast when we talked about this, because this was a part of it, there was a full-on fight.
Yeah.
There was a full-on, I'm at your head, we're going for real, head, like 2 6'6" dudes going at it.
Yeah.
Jervon Dexter runs up and Tevin Jenkins is like, we doing this right now?
Yeah.
Like Battle of the Bears moment that just didn't get shown on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And for me, I know it's probably not going to happen in next week's episode.
Nah, they ain't showing that.
But show me something. Yeah. Show me something.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. Give me a little something.
Yeah. I mean, it's the last episode. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what we get.
We'll see what ends up happening. J Mac.
Austin Reed's been in the whole time. Like, I need to see some other guys. Like, no disrespect, but I want to see more of the other guys. Like, give them a mic.
J Mac, what does Austin Reed have for breakfast in episode 5? No, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate ComEd for sponsoring this. And I think that they would want the real. They would want that real energy. And we gave that real energy, that clean energy on today's episode. And hopefully we get more of that from Hard Knocks next week. But hey, for Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Make sure that you guys stay tapped in with Hard Knocks. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. And make sure you rock with us over on the Chicago Bears podcast. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Down. One love. Peace.